Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 847. The topic is Q&A, and the title is Exercise Combinations, Good or Bad? A listener actually tagged me on an Instagram video and said they'd been listening to the podcast and they wanted to ask a question based on the video that they tagged me in. And the video was showing an Instagram account owned by like a personal trainer, and he looked okay. Like, he was physically fit, but not really a ton of muscle mass, didn't seem super strong, kind of just physically fit, but nothing extraordinary, if that makes sense. Kind of just good fit dude, right down the middle, you know, of everything. And he was showing a exercise where he was doing a one-arm cable bicep curl. So this would be a cable about the height of your face. So he was doing like an elbow up, one arm, cable curl, where he would curl the handle towards his face. Then with a bent arm position, he was doing a row. So he would tuck his elbow down to his side by squeezing his lat. And then in the underhanded position that let him in, he then did a tricep press down. And then he would kind of cycle that back through. So it was a bicep curl into a row, which is kind of like more like a lat pull down, like a straight arm pull down, but his arm is bent in a bicep position, but he's using his lat to kind of pull his elbow down. And then he's doing a tricep press down. The listener asked if I thought that would be a good exercise, and if I thought it would be a good idea to put a program based around some of the combinations this person was showing, and would that help them get better results. Did they need to maybe not work out as much, or what they actually wanted to do was to work out more often and just use these combinations as a way to get more exercises in? So maybe now they could train every body part 3 times a week rather than twice a week, and would that get them more growth? So what my answer was is, first of all, more growth depends on proper nutrition, not just stimulus. So you can have the stimulus to grow new muscle, but you have to have the material to build the new muscle with. So we went through and we talked about nutrition first, and I've talked about that in the past, so I'm going to kind of move on past that. But that would be the first thing I'd look at, is if I'm training and I think to myself as, man, I would like to grow more, I don't feel like I'm growing as much as I should, instead of adding activity, I would make sure my nutrition is actually correct. Are you tracking nutrition? Do you have times where you're kind of missing meals? Are you inconsistent from day to day? That's way more impactful than more exercises. So what's really important to remember is that when we train, we are creating a stimulus for new growth. It's not actually going to grow. Nothing grows while we train. We don't build new muscles while we train. We build new muscles because we train. So training provides the stimulus, but then your nutrition has to provide the building material for the muscle. So we talked about that first. We got that kind of out of the way, but that was a big thing. And then what we discussed was, are exercise combinations a good way to get more work in? That's kind of the general premise of the question. And my answer was, it depends on the combination. There's never usually a clear black and white, so this is a gray one. But we're going to go through and kind of give you an idea on how to break this down, how to decide whether an exercise combination is worth it or not. In that example, the reason why that was, in my opinion, not good. So we said the answer kind of depends on this combination. That combination actually was not good. And the reason why was because those three exercises aren't equal in strength. So if you do a cable bicep curl, I might be able to do that with, say, 50 pounds. That straight arm pull down with a lat squeeze, yeah, I can, you know, I can squeeze my lat and make it feel difficult and challenging with 50 pounds. But then I can't tricep reverse hand, you know, tricep press down maybe 50 pounds. Those three movements aren't entirely equal. Now, you might find one person that's more equal than another person. And some people might have them be very close or similar, but they're not exactly equal, meaning if I'm going to do a bicep curl into a row, into a tricep press down, nowhere in there do I have the chance to change weight. They all have to do the exact same weight, and I can't do, well, I could do, but the guy wasn't showing, doing more repetitions of one of the movements than the other. So let's say, for example, the elbow tuck lat pull down is the stronger of the three movements. Well, I could do one curl, I could do three elbow tuck, like tuck movements, and then one tricep press down. So I could vary my reps if I wanted to make sure that they felt equal. But really, what the true premise of what we're looking for, what would make a combination good, is that every movement in the combination needs to feel maximally stimulated by the end of the set. If only one is maximally stimulated and the other one is kind of at like a 70% or, you know, had did some work, but it was only kind of annoyed rather than actually exhausted, then you're not going to get a great result from that. So, for example, in that combination, let's say that the person's weakest movement of the three is the tricep press down. And the reason why that would be a difficult movement in that position is because it's underhanded. An underhand tricep press down is a lot weaker than an overhand tricep press down. So let's say the person did maximal effort on bicep curls. They got 100% out of 100%, the most their biceps could give them. Then the elbow tuck, the guy was calling a row, which is more like a straight arm pull down. So let's say they got 80%, and then the tricep press down, So I probably just confused you there. Let's say that the tricep press down was the weakest one. So out of all three movements, if it's the weakest, it's going to be the one that gets maximized 100%. So we'll say the tricep press down was 100%, the row was 80%, and the bicep curl was 70%. Well, I'm only ever going to be able to do that combination as much as the weakest of the movements would allow me. Once the weakest movement failed, I can't keep going because, you know, I can't keep doing that movement if it's failed. Now, could I drop it off in the rotation? Well, there's another possibility of how we might be able to make that combination work. So I might do the bicep curl. I then do the row and the tricep press down. But let's say the tricep press down, the form is starting to waver. I won't be able to do that well anymore. So I might do the bicep curl, the row, and then reset back to the starting position. I'll just skip the tricep press down until the bicep curl and the row are maxed out. So there are ways to modify what that person was doing. Now, they didn't say any of this, so it's not very helpful to people watching if it's needed to make this maximally efficient, to make it maximally beneficial, is to either change the repetitions of one of the single movements or to drop off the weakest movement in the combination. So there are ways to make it work. But essentially what we're looking to do is, if we do a combination, we need to make sure that each of the elements feels maximally stressed. That way each of the elements gets 100% of the results possible. If we don't have that, if we don't have equality in stress among the movements, then some of them are just going to be undertrained. So you may think to yourself is, oh yes, you know, I trained that muscle, but you didn't train it 100%. You only trained it maybe 70%. So you're not going to get 100% results out of it. So if you're wanting the best results, exercise combinations are going to be more challenging to make them work, because you will have to modify the reps per movement or the weight. You'll have to modify the positions, just some way whatsoever. You're going to have to modify all of that and make it work. So let's give another example to kind of understand this more. I saw an exercise combination I tried actually probably almost a year ago at this point, but it was an Instagram post, and a person was doing a plank across two benches, and he was a one-arm dumbbell row. So he had his feet on one bench in like a dumbbell area bench. He had his elbow of, say, his left arm, his elbow and forearm of his left arm on another bench. And then in the gap between there with his right arm, he was doing a dumbbell row, a one-arm dumbbell row. So he was holding a plank on one elbow, 2 feet, while doing a row with the other arm. Well, as you can imagine, that was pretty crazy. And what ended up happening was, is you could max out your ability to do a plank, but you didn't max out the ability to do a row. So, for example, in that position, I could do a one-arm dumbbell rows with 60-pound dumbbells. Well, if I get into a normal one-arm dumbbell row position, I can use 100-plus pounds. So over 100-pound dumbbell. So was that 60-pound dumbbell maximally stimulating my back? No. It provided the maximal stimulus for the plank, but it did not maximally stimulate the back. So that was a very elaborate way to do a plank. It wasn't going to build me a great back because I wasn't using maximal effort. I was limited. If I'm limited in a muscle, if I'm limited in a movement, I'm going to be limited in the results. Another example I have, a funny one, was back when I used to teach at the university. I taught for 7.5 years at the university level, teaching exercise physiology labs and weight training and stuff like that. And I remember I had a student in one of the weight training classes. He was doing a combination of bicep curls, dumbbell bicep curls, as he was doing lunges. So as he would lunge forward, he would curl up. As he would push his way back in the lunge, he would let the dumbbells come down. And I remember looking at him and I go, what are you doing? Now, I knew the movements he was doing. I didn't know why. So I should have actually asked, why are you doing that? Not, what are you doing? And he went on to explain to me that he thought it was a great idea because it was combining, you know, multiple movements and he was going to get the whole body involved and blah, 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 blah. And I remember just asking him, I said, well, how much can you curl if you were to only do curls? And he told me a number. And I said, well, how much can you do forward lunges? Like if you were to only do the lunges and hang weights like at your side, like how much weight could you use for the lunges? And what do you know? He could statically just curl more weight than what he was using in the combination. He could use more weight in the lunges if they were done alone than what he was using in the combination. So by combining the movements, he was involving his whole body. He was getting both motions done at the same time, but he was getting them done against minimal weight load, sub-maximal weight load. So, yes, he was killing two birds with one stone, but he wasn't really actually killing the bird. He was more just bludgeoning the bird. So he wasn't really actually being 100% effective in what he was doing. He was doing a less-than-best curl and a less-than-best lunge at the same time. So he would have been better off doing the curls and then going into the lunges because he could then maximize each one. So an example of a good combination, recently I used on our Free Motion shoulder machine. We have a shoulder machine by the company Free Motion, and it has cables kind of down on near the floor that you would then hold over your head like and do overhead presses with the cable tension. And what I was doing with it was doing what are called dead stop bicep curls. So at the bottom of each curl, right as my arms were about to extend, I'd let the weight stack touch. Then I'd have to re-engage tightness into my bicep curls to start the next bicep curl to the top. I'd squeeze, I'd lower it down, and right when my arms were about to extend, the weights would touch. So every single rep, the biceps have to reabsorb the stress of the weight load. It's a very challenging way to do bicep curls. It's a great way to create a lot of damage, especially in the extended position, but safely so you don't risk any bicep tears. After that, I was then flipping the handles and the cables kind of up over behind my head and doing overhead tricep extensions. I found for them each to be maximally stimulated. The bicep curls were done for around 10 reps, and the overhead extensions were done for around 20 reps, sometimes only 16. So it was actually a combination, but more so one than the other. I was on the same machine, used the same weight load, so it was very quick, very efficient transitions, but it was all bicep curls into all tricep overhead extensions. That is usually the better way if you want to combine motions, is do all of one into all of the other, rather than doing them both at the same time. Another example I'll use with clients is kettlebell swings into a goblet hold kettlebell squats. So we'll do kettlebell swings, maybe we'll do a hinge style swing to work on glutes and kind of good core bracing. So they'll do that for maybe a set of 20, then they flip the kettlebell up into a goblet position and they'll do squats with it, and usually for a set of 10. So that's a great way to pair two movements together that are going to be hinge, kind of posterior chain dominant in the first one, and then more of a knee bend dominant or quad involved movement in the second one. So that is another combination where we do all of one movement into all the other. They're close enough in strength that we can use the same weight, but we might play around with the rep ranges. One might be a little bit different than the other. So the best combinations are usually one exercise into another exercise, not two exercises at the same time. Now, if you say, well, I'm doing this because I want to save time, it doesn't take that much longer, really, to do the, say, 10 to 20 reps of a movement into another 10 to 20 rather than doing all 10 to 20 at one time. The reason why is because we don't really need any extra rest period. So if we say 10 reps takes 30 seconds, if you do three sets of that, that's an extra 30 seconds per set. So you're doing an extra minute and a half. How many supersets and circuits are you really going to do in your workout? We'll say four, maybe five. We'll go with five. Okay, so you added 7.5 minutes to your workout. Now, that can be... Oh, that's not even that. Yeah, so minute and a half. Yeah. Yep, so around seven and a half minutes, something like that. So it's worth it to extend the workout 7.5 minutes to get every single exercise maximally stimulated. Rather than saving 7.5 minutes, an hour-long workout, and sub-maximally training every body part or every exercise. So when people try to do more, in cases such as what that Instagram post was, the person doing that that cable bicep curl into a row, into a tricep press down, instead of getting more, they're actually getting less because they're not actually maximizing each movement. They're not getting the best stimulus possible. They're not getting enough of a stimulus that makes the current body think that it needs to change, that it needs to adapt, that it needs to become better. So when people want something special, and it's not necessarily that they necessarily want a shortcut. The person who sent me this post actually wanted to try to find ways to do more work. So congratulations to them. But often what we really need, rather than something special, rather than these fancy combinations, is we just need the basic things done right and done over time with consistency. So there's a lot of trainers who make money off of showcasing random weird exercises and saying that this is the missing key. You know, your biceps aren't growing because you're not doing this one single bicep variation exercise. No, come on now. That's not it. If we do any bicep exercise that stimulates and annoys the crap out of the biceps, and then we eat efficiently, correctly for our goal, we will get adaptation and we will get change. 99.99999% of the time, when somebody's training but they're not getting the result they want, nutrition is the problem. So if you are training but you're not growing, you're probably not eating correctly. If you are training but you're not losing fat, maybe that's your goal. But you're active, you're training, and you're not losing fat, then your nutrition isn't correct. That would be the first thing I would look for in every one of these circumstances. Before I consider doing more, I would want to make sure that what my food is actually correct for my goal. If you're under-eating, doing more is actually going to make it more detrimental. You won't get any more results. You'll just be more frustrated. So, when it comes to exercise combinations, you're better off separating the movements. Do one, then the other. Do it as a superset or circuit. And when you think to yourself is, okay, do I need this special exercise for me to get more results? 99.99999% of the time, no. You need to take a look at your food and make sure you're eating enough for your goal. And that could be maybe you're under-eating for fat loss, so you might actually need to eat more to lose fat. And maybe you're under-eating to grow muscle tissue, so you need to eat more to grow more muscle. So that's what I would look for first, is look at my nutrition, make sure my nutrition is correct. Then if I'm going to combine exercises or do something fun and fancy, do all of one movement into all of the other movement as a superset or as a big circuit, kind of making combinations of things. That's going to get you a lot better results. So hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully it helped answer that person's question. I already kind of answered theirs one-on-one because we went through and talked about the nutrition. But hopefully this helped them get a little more understanding as well. So thank you for listening to this, and I hope that If you ever have any questions yourself, you always feel welcomed and encouraged to reach out like this listener did, and let us help you. If there's any questions you have, any uncertainties you have, let us know, and then we can let you know on how to address those issues. And then just a reminder, we do offer monthly programming. So we offer programs based on different goals. So we actually just had someone reach out and get a strongman-based training program. So they have a training program. There's combined nutrition program paired with the goal. There's morning motivational messages, accountability tracking, free technique review, and free educational support. And that's all for $50 a month, no contracts. So you get what workouts you should do. Every exercise has a tutorial video, tells you everything you should do when you're in the gym, tells you everything you should eat. It wakes you up in the morning, make sure you start the day with the right mindset. It helps with accountability, making sure that what you think you're doing is what you're actually doing. And we provide technique review for exercises, make sure you're doing everything right, along with educational support. So if you have questions about the programs, we can answer those for you. It's a pretty damn good service. Okay. This is something that I think everyone would benefit from. So if you need programming at all, this absolutely is a great resource. I make sure of that because this is something that if I'm going to get my hands into, if I want my name on it, I want it to be good. So if you're going to follow programming from Brutal Iron Gym, I'm going to make damn sure it's good programming. So if you want any, if you have any questions about that, if you want to inquire about any kind of specific goals that you have, and if we have a program for that, let me know. If I don't have a program for it, I'll write you one for you, and then I'll use that as a template for everybody else. How about that? So if there's anything you want monthly programming for, let me know. So we have the $50 a month, and that is like a mass programming. So it'd be programming based on your goal. And then we definitely have like online client services to where if you want programming based on you, we do have extra services for that as well. So if there's anything you need at all, just please reach out to us. I really, really, really want to be here to help you in your journey. So let me do that. If you need me, let me know. And then if you like today's podcast, actually click like on the episode itself. That helps the podcast be found in searches. And then also please share the podcast if you think it's helpful. The more we share the podcast, whether it's on social media, you know, email, text message, conversation with a friend, however we share it, the more we share it, the more people we can help. And then if you like the information that we teach in these podcasts, you can also check out our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. We post every single day on Instagram, so please check us out. And then, like we said, if there's anything you need to know, any questions, feedback, or suggestions, let us know, and we'll get you the answer. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.